welcome to another episode of A Perfectly Cromulent Podcast. I'm Liam Morris.
And I am Daniel Tosney.
There he is. So, episode 2 then of this podcast that we've decided to do. And we're on to episodes 5, 6, 7 and 8 for this one of season 1. So we've watched them all.
We have.
And we've taken notes. So, the first one of this podcast is going to be Bart the General, written by John Swartzwelder.
Yes.
Want to start us off?
Yeah. So it's an episode focused mostly around Bart and him trying to deal with Nelson at school. Nelson introduced for the first time, obviously. Yeah. He's the school bully. But not obviously doesn't have the ha-ha catchphrase just yet. He tries to get advice from his family, these people, and none of it really seems to work until the end, basically. So yeah, it's an episode about Bart.
Yeah, and well, we get the funny sort of introduction of Herman as well.
Yes.
The nut job who owns the weapon shop, trying to help Bart out with his bully problems.
Obviously. And Grandpa as
yes.
well.
That's quite good.
Who has a kind of seemingly a relationship with Herman, which is kind of strange to see when you go back to these episodes.
The bit, well, that's obviously the premise of the episode. There was a bit that I found quite nice at the sort of near the beginning of the episode, just before Nelson's introduced, where we see Bart sticking up for Lisa.
Look, Jamie, cupcakes. Give me that. Hey, get those back.
Hey, what's the big idea? That's my sister, man.
So what?
So give her back those cupcakes before I knock your block off.
Yeah, again, that's just another wee, not funny or anything, but another wee nod to, you know, The Simpsons is good at family relationships, even though, because that's what you would do. I mean, I don't have a brother or sister, but, you know, you would do that if that happened to your sister, you know, so.
Yeah, it's one of those, is it kind of like a nameless jerk, this kid? It's one of these kids that in the early seasons appears, but doesn't really feature, is not a kind of main character. There's a couple of kids that look just like him, actually. They seem to be essentially Nelson's cronies.
Yeah.
But yeah, I mean, it's, you know, this episode is, I don't think, a very funny episode in general.
There's
a couple of funny bits. There's the whole idea about the playground code that Bart doesn't want to break, and then when he goes to Homer for advice, Homer's advice is not to break it. And of course, Marge comes in when Bart's really upset in the bath.
I had a run-in with a bully.
A bully?
Come on, Marge. I don't bug you when you're helping Lisa.
Well, Bart, I hope you're going straight to the principal about this.
Homer says that he'd rather Bart died.
What? And violate the code of the schoolyard? I'd rather Bart die.
break these rules. One thing, actually, before this that happens is what really starts it all off, the kind of feud between Nelson and Bart is Bart accidentally hits Nelson in the nose and his nose starts bleeding.
Yeah.
I always thought, and I don't know where I read this, but I always thought this, that the episode where Homer jumps over the gorge or fails to jump over the gorge was the first time a cartoon on it, a kind of primetime television cartoon, showed blood. I don't know why I thought that. I don't know if that was ever a thing. But I never thought that this early on that you actually had a cartoon where blood was a feature. I suppose there's not really a kind of grotesque injury.
No.
Like there is when Homer falls down the canyon, but it was there, and I actually found it quite surprising.
I think that's where you're right with the grotesque, I suppose, grotesque injury and damage to sort of a body. I mean, I'm inclined to agree with you about that whole thing with the one where Homer falls down the canyon, that classic scene later on in The Simpsons. But yeah, I mean, I don't think it was just blood. It must have been more than that. Like you say, it must have been damaged, you know.
Yeah, I mean, you suppose you actually see him kind of like, it's kind of a crumpled mess on the floor.
Breaking bones and all that
yeah.
kind of thing.
Exactly, yeah.
It's quite nasty, actually. There's a great bit where Skinner, you know, Bart tries to say to Skinner,
yeah.
You know, he's going to get me.
Hello, kids. Everything above the board here? Good. Play friendly, children. Uh-oh, there's your bell. Come along now, all of you. No dawdling now.
I'll get you after school, man. But...
Oh, no. He'll get you after school, son. Now hurry up, it's time for class.
After class, so in you go. there's a great... bit where Bart has a daydream about what Nelson's going to do to him.
Okay, Nelson, put up your dukes. Ah!
And how he's going to kill him and eat him. And I thought that was quite realistic in terms of, you know, I remember, you know, getting into fights when I was little. And if it was someone who had a reputation as being a hard man or that,
you
thought it was the end of your life. You know, you worried about it the rest of the day. And it's not a big deal when you're that, well, you know, when you look back at it.
Yeah, I mean, what was the worst? It was always kind of like a, you know, you get pushed or something like that. It's the way the kind of 10-year-old mind works.
Yeah. And he just thinks that's going to be the end of his life, and he has that wee daydream about how he's in the coffin.
Goodbye, little dude. You look so lifelike, man.
Yes, the school nurse did a wonderful job reconstructing his little face after the fight. Goodbye, son. I guess you were right. All that homework was a waste of your time.
Thanks, Bart. We got the day off from school for this.
Yeah, and I got the day off from work.
Homer!
But what's a day off from work when I'm never going to see my beloved son again? Oh, Bart! Oh, Bart!
That's better, Homer. Be brave. Bye-bye, Bart. You're always my special little guy.
Bart, here's that cupcake you wanted. I can't help but think if I had just given it to you in the first place, this whole horrible tragedy could have been avoided. I know you can't eat it now, so I'll just place it lovingly on your forehead.
Hey, look! They got food at this thing. Here's one for the road, dude.
The nurse. The school nurse reconstructed his face. There's a great bit in this episode. I think we can kind of, we'll probably end up racing through this episode a little bit, because like you say, unless you totally disagree that you think it was, there's a lot to it, I think it was a fairly kind of straightforward.
Yeah, it feels a episode. Bit unsure about itself, I think.
Yeah, but there is a great bit, and it's kind of, it's almost prophetic in the way that it leads on to what happens later on in The Simpsons, where Homer's giving Bart advice on standing up for himself.
Now here's that bully of yours. Show me your stuff. No, no, not like that. Like this. See that boy? You didn't expect that, did you? And neither will he.
You mean I should fight dirty, Dad?
Unfortunately, son, we Simpsons sometimes have to bend the rules a little in order to hold our own.
Amen.
So the next time this bully thinks you're going to throw a punch, you throw a glob of mud in his eyes. And then you sock him when he's staggering around blinded.
Yeah.
And there's nothing wrong with hitting someone when his back is turned.
Gotcha.
And if you get the chance, get him right in the family jewels. That little doozy's been a Simpson trademark for generations.
One of the things that he says is there's nothing wrong with hitting somebody when their back is turned.
Yeah.
Which is obviously time to kick some back from the the little, was it the... Papa Homer and stuff like that. I can't remember what the episode was.
One where he gets a little brother and a big
he kicks the guy in the back. That's great. I did laugh at that bit.
Yeah, and he's telling him, don't be afraid to like punch him in the family jewels.
yeah, and then straight after that, you've got Grandpa Simpson writing a letter to TV companies saying,
"Dear advertisers, I am disgusted with the way old people are depicted on television. We are not all vibrant, fun-loving sex maniacs. Many of us are bitter, resentful individuals who remember the good old days when entertainment was bland and inoffensive. The following is a list of words I never want to hear on television again. Number one, bra. Number two, horny. Number three, family jewels.
Here's a list of phrases I never want to hear on television again, and one of them is family jewels.
Yeah. Yeah, that's self-awareness, obviously. The Simpsons is...
Yeah, poking fun at itself, isn't it?
Line that I sent to you actually when I was watching it, I thought it was quite funny, is that scene where Grandpa Simpson's saying, I'll take you to Herman, he's a mastermind tactician, and he's going to do this, and they go to the shop, and Herman's obviously a bit of a creep.
Yeah, he's kind of a paranoiac Grandpa
knocks on the door.
Here?
Yep, this is it.
What's the password?
Let me in, you idiot.
Right you are.
Yeah. It was good, but I realized I said that Herman's kind of a veteran sort of thing, but he isn't really, is he? Because he's always got all this stuff, but he's just clearly a nut. Because when Bart asks him how he lost his arm, if he lost it in a war or whatever, he's just like...
Mr. Herman?
Yes?
Did you lose your arm in the war?
My arm? Well, let me put it this way. Next time your teacher tells you to keep your arm inside the bus window, you do it.
It's kind of it reminded me a lot, this episode, of those feel-good kids movies, like, you know, Bad News Bears and The Mighty Ducks and stuff like that, where it's getting one over, like, bringing all your friends together and getting one over on the bad guys, and it's that kind of thing like that, you know, at the end, near the end, where they all gang up on Nelson and the bullies and they capture them. Mm-hmm. Homer comes out and he's saying... The kids are all throwing water balloons at him, and Grandpa nails him with one from a treehouse.
All right, you kids, keep it down. Am I making myself? Got him.
You, up in the tree, the tall grey-haired kid.
It's you, the tall grey-haired kid.
So, yeah, an okay episode with some funny bits, but not a standout one from the season or in general, but...
No, I think even in the context of the season, it's one of the ones that is probably slightly weaker. But it's still very much finding its feet as a series at this point, so you have to forgive.
I think you're right in, you know, saying that it's you know, it's still finding its feet, it's still, you know, building up ahead of steam. One thing I noticed was, and I don't know if it was just my imagination, the animation in this episode seems worse than the episodes before it. Maybe when you've got a free moment at some point, maybe go back and watch some of it.
Yeah, I can't say I noticed it on
that.
I
might just be imagining things, but...
But you know what it's like? Because maybe it was just one of those ones where the original was in such a poor state that even when they were remastering on this DVD that we were both watching it from, it didn't come out as well as some of the others. Maybe there was just some kind of problem with the original animation file or I don't know how it was actually remastered. I don't know, it wasn't digital, obviously, or whatever. So, I find, you know, an alright episode, but not one worth writing home about. Not one that you would show to somebody to get them into The Simpsons.
No. Right, next episode then was episode 6, Moaning Lisa, which was written by our favourite Al Jean. So, you know, when I saw that he was writing it, I was looking forward to watching it.
Yeah, Al Jean, that we touched on last time, for the first, I think it was like the first four seasons, it really seemed to me that Al Jean, when I've gone back and watched the old episodes, it seemed that whenever Al Jean was like the showrunner or the main producer or the writer, you always got something that was a well-rounded episode, an episode that really worked quite well. It wasn't always the funniest episodes, but it was a good episode generally.
Well, I really enjoyed this episode. I thought this is probably one of the top three of the season so far. The premise, basically, you know, it's touching on Lisa now, and it's basically she's smarter than, you know, Bart and Homer and probably Marge. And she's, you know, she's sad and she's thinking about the horrible things that happen in the world, and she doesn't think that, you know, she can make a difference, and that she's just, what's the point? And you know, there's a wee bit of sadness in there, and, you know, it's hopeless. And for solace, she plays her saxophone, and obviously Homer doesn't nurture that gift. He just tells her to shut up, I was just playing it.
Yeah.
And we get introduced to Bleeding Gums Murphy for the first time, and there is I think probably the best part of the whole episode is this little side story between Homer and Bart with the boxing game.
Yes.
I think that is That is brilliant. And
the episode begins with that, doesn't it? And it reminds me of, and this is going to be a kind of recurring theme, it reminds me of when you did play a game when you were younger with your dad. Like, I used to play FIFA 95 and stuff like that. And all your dad would sit there doing, going, why is he not? Get the. No, don't go over there. Where's he going? No. And is that kind of the inability to kind of comprehend that you have to control every aspect. So, well, why is he not ducking? Why is he not blocking? It made me laugh. Mm-hmm.
And basically, you know, towards the end, Homer, there's a great sort of epiphany almost, that Homer realizes that actually Bart's probably smarter than he is.
Yeah. Well, he says, what did he say? It was either the greatest moment in his life or the worst moment in his father's life when he realized he was better than him at everything.
You know, Marge, getting old is a terrible thing. I think the saddest day of my life is when I realized I could beat my dad at most things. And Bart experienced that at the age of 4.
There's a funny bit at the beginning where there's a food fight. You know, Lisa's saying to her friends, look at us all herded into the canteen like cattle to chew in our food just like every other day. And, you know, her friends are just looking at her like, what? And then just as she's going through her speech, Bart shouts, food fight!
Yeah.
And they all start I'm not sure if you noticed, but during this food fight, a melon gets thrown across the screen.
I didn't notice that.
So, yeah, so we get elements of this story as well where Homer's trying to understand his daughter and is just causes more problems than help. And really, it's...
And again, I think we mentioned this last week, it feels to me a lot of the time in the later seasons that the Simpsons writers, they go back and they go, do you know what, let's do what we were trying to do in this episode, but do it better. So you have, you know, the Joy of Sax episode. Mm-hmm. Is it Joy of Sax where Lisa's, where saxophone gets destroyed? I can't remember what the name of the episode is, but...
Oh, yes.
It seems like that's, again, it's another bonding episode between, like, Homer trying to understand Lisa, but in this case, you know, Homer doesn't really succeed as such until the very end where they go and watch Bleeding Gums sing about how Homer belongs in a zoo.
This next song was written by a friend of mine, one of the great little ladies of jazz. This bratty brother, he bugs me every day. And this morning my own mother gave my last cupcake away. My dad acts like he belongs, y'all. He belongs in the zoo.
What?
I'm the saddest kid in grade number 2. Yeah.
Yeah, there's a great bit where Homer clearly says, no, he likes music, but likes rubbish music generally. And he goes into Lisa's room and... goes into Lisa's room and tells him to stop playing a saxophone. And she says, well, I'm playing the blues. He goes, oh, all right, play the blues if it'll make you happy.
Go ahead, play your blues if it'll make you happy.
Yeah, then there's that great bit later on in the episode where... Bleeding Gums Murphy says, playing the blues isn't about making yourself feel better, it's about making other people feel worse.
And making some money while you're at it.
Yeah, exactly. We hear a couple of wee trivia things in here. This is the first time we hear about sort of a few places that are in Springfield that we haven't seen yet. I noticed when, I think it's on the radio, they're talking about that there's Barney's Bolarama.
Well, yeah, because Barney's Bolarama is mentioned because they talk about a fire raging through Springfield and it's destroyed the art museum, the history museum, and Barney's Bolarama, and that's what Homer goes mad at.
So, I thought this was a pretty good episode. I quite liked it.
It's a nice episode, and I always liked Bleeding Gums as a character. He never really does anything particularly funny or anything like that, but he was a decent character, and it was quite. I kind of have a suspicion that when you've got Lisa bonding with Bleeding Gums so much, it kind of almost distracted from the relationship she had with Homer. And so if you're writing it, you're going, well, you don't want Lisa always running off to Bleeding Gums when she's got problems. You want Homer to be there, essentially, as the kind of father figure, even though he is, you know, not great at it at times, but ultimately he should be the one, yeah. And if you've got Lisa who's kind of confidant and stuff like that, is Bleeding Gums, and you kind of take away a bit of Homer's goodness, as it were. Mm-hmm. There's a great bit where Homer's trying to practice to be better than Bart at the boxing game, and he goes up to the counter and says,
"Give me some quarters. I'm doing my laundry."
Yeah.
Where's the video boxing?
It's over there in the corner. But if I were you, I really would use those quarters for laundry.
There's also a brilliant scene, I think, that just shows really what the Simpsons are at heart. Even the smarter ones like Maggie and Lisa, where Bart's arguing that, you know, Maggie loves him more, and Lisa's saying, you know, no, she loves me more. She's saying, come to me, look for substance, not just what's great, what seems flashy on the outside. And then he's like, no, come to me, Maggie, come to me, Maggie. And she goes to TV.
Hey, don't say stuff like that about me to Maggie. She's on my side anyway.
Is not.
Is too.
Is not.
Is too.
Is not.
Is too. Watch, I'll prove it. Maggie, come to the one you love best.
No, Maggie. Come here, girl. Come to me.
Come on, Maggie. The choice is obvious.
No, Maggie. Don't go for the glitter. Look for substance.
All right, Maggie. Just go to Bart.
Exactly. Come to the one you love best.
Yeah, yeah. Hugs the television.
Come to the one you love. Yeah.
Yeah. Exactly.
Are you hugging the TV?
Quit hugging that TV.
There's a funny bit as well where Marge is dreaming about when she was young, and it's all related to Lisa and, you know, how she was just told to smile and bear it, you know, push all those feelings deep down inside you so that at least people think you're happy and,
yeah,
you know, you don't need to, don't be yourself, be what other people want to see you as. She's like, you know, that she obviously later in the episode comes round to thinking, actually, that's not the right way to go about it. Homer, on the other hand, has a dream about getting punched to death by Bart.
What the?
Put up your dukes, Homer.
Bart, go easy on me. I'm your dad.
I am going easy on you, but you're just so old and slow and weak and pathetic.
No!
You know, it's just a brilliant scene. I'll just come in with this then. There's another prank call to Mo in this episode.
Yes. Yeah, most have it, most speaking.
Is Jock there?
Who?
Jock. Last name Strap.
Hold on. Jock Strap. Hey, guys, I'm looking for a Jock Strap. What? Oh, wait a minute. Jock Strap. It's you, isn't it, you cowardly little runt? When I get a hold of you, I am going to gut you like a fish and drink your blood.
Oh, dear. So, yeah, good episode with a good subplot, I thought.
Yeah. It's one of these things where it's, again, and this comes up later on in the episodes that we're talking about today, Simpsons early on seem to want to do these little recurring tropes in the series. So you see a couple of the episodes, the end at the bridge, or the bridge is kind of this important part of the episode where somebody will find this epiphany moment. So Lisa meets Bleeding Gums there, Homer realizes that his family love him regardless of he's got a Christmas bonus or whatever. And I was kind of watching it through going, I wonder if they initially thought maybe we should have these kind of go-to points. And you see it as well with Homer giving fatherly advice. He gives a lot of fatherly advice in the first few episodes of the season, and it's always come sit at my knee, and it's always bad advice. It's always terrible advice, but it's like a kind of recurring thing. And they do get rid of this, but I wonder if that was a kind of a thought process that was going through, saying, well, we should have these. So every episode or one in two episodes should have a moment where Homer sits Bart or Lisa on his lap and tells him something stupid. You know, kind of like that's what a more kind of formulaic sitcom would call it.
Yeah. I mean, there's that brilliant bit where he puts Lisa on his knee.
You wouldn't understand.
Oh, sure I would, Princess. I have feelings too. You know, like, my stomach hurts or I'm going crazy. Why don't you climb up on Daddy's knee and tell him all about it?
I'm just wondering, what's the point? Would it make any difference at all if I never existed? How can we sleep at night when there's so much suffering in the world?
Well, come on, Lisa, ride the Homer horsey! Giddy up! Whee!
It's that lovely thing where he means well, but he's just too dim-witted to kind of help.
Brilliant. So yeah, enjoyed that one.
Yeah.
Let's move on to episode 7 then. I know you were wanting desperately to see this scene and talk about this episode. So it's Call of the Simpsons.
Yeah.
On you go then with the premise of this one.
Well, I think this is probably... It's got a chance at being the strongest episode of the season. I think it's the first one of the season so far where I've watched it and really, really been in fits of laughter. Mm-hmm. Mostly at one bit, but certainly there's a couple of bits that I've found really funny. Mm-hmm. And we'll get to the bit that I just absolutely adore. But the premise is the Simpsons, in Keeping Up with the Flanderses, Homer has to go and buy an RV because Ned's just bought this incredible RV. He goes down to the showroom and they go for camping in the woods. And they get into a bit of a disaster where Homer nearly drives the RV off a cliff. But he is an experienced woodsman in his own words.
Which he says several times.
Several times.
He goes away to cry on his own.
Yeah, with a big echo saying, we're all going to die.
Oh, Homer, what are we going to do?
Now, don't worry. Our situation isn't as bad as it seems. And you're forgetting. I'm an experienced woodsman. Now, you all stay here for a minute while I go over this way and try to get my bearings. What am I going to do?
This episode, and I was watching it and I was like, I know that voice. And it was Albert Brooks is the guy that runs the RV showroom.
Now, it's Albert Brooks, Scorpio.
Scorpio, yeah.
Yeah, that is funny. I thought that as well. I thought this character... is similar to Hank Scorpio.
It's so similar, the way he speaks. It's that kind of, just between me and you, this is just strictly me. I don't even need to check the machine, but I've got to check it anyway. And he has the same kind of humour as well, where you can almost tell it's ad-libbed, where the siren goes off when you check Homer's credit rating. And Homer says...
Is that a good siren? Am I approved?
You ever known a siren to be good? No, Mr. Simpson, it's not.
Have you ever known a siren to be good?
No, this is the machine telling me that if I suddenly went blind, do not sell to this customer. Unless you want your business to go out, you know.
Yeah. Does it have a deep fryer? It has four, one for each part of the chicken.
Does it have a satellite dish? It has a satellite.
Yeah. It wants the, whatever it was, just for this.
Yeah, the van sat one or something.
Yeah, whatever, yeah. And it's one of these brilliant moments. I think, like, when I look at that, that was the real... It must have been... They must have seen that guest star performance and gone, we can do so much with this now.
And I bet you a lot of that was improvised as well.
Oh, guaranteed. Yeah, Albert Brooks is guaranteed. I mean, Dan Castellaneta, a few times he said he's the worst person to work with on The Simpsons because you can't do your lines because you're laughing so much. The whole hammock scene in my favourite Simpsons episode, You Only Knew Twice, is all ad-libs.
Yeah.
And it's just Dan Castellaneta going, yep. While Albert Brooks just goes off on them about the hammock district. So, yeah.
You know that? But, ye
But yeah, so they go into the woods. There's a good bit when they're driving there.
I'm telling you, this is not the interstate.
Maps.
Kind of like fad, new age technology that's unreliable. Brilliant.
Oh, yeah. And it shows you a bit as well before in the RV sales scene. It just shows you how gullible and how much of a sucker Homer really is. You know, if someone says something is good, then Homer thinks it's amazing.
Yeah. There's a where you walk in and like the guy that runs the RV showroom is just sees him and just goes, "Thank you, God," because he knows they're just a couple of set of absolute saps. Mm-hmm. And he's saying to Homer, "You see that guy over there? He phoned 2 minutes before you arrived. He wants he's going to buy it today."
Well, what do you think?
Oh, you gotta be kidding me.
Used, isn't it?
What'd you say?
Is it used?
Mr. Simpson, you're never gonna own a better RV. And I don't mean that in a good way. I mean literally, buddy. This is it for you, you know? It's this or a wagon.
How much do you want for it?
This is yours, a price I'm quoting you. You're not gonna hand it to someone else? Because I'm gonna give you a price for you, not for someone else. Someone else, I'm doubling this.
I swear it, Bob.
This is you and me.
Yeah!
In other words, 2 months from now, I see this vehicle. Your head's in that window.
On my honor.
$350 a month.
Oh, well, I don't know. Would it be all right if I conferred with my family?
Well, Mr. Simpson, if you have to go talk it over with those humans out there, then there's something wrong with all of us. You look like a man who is able to make a decision, or I wouldn't be wasting... See that man right over there?
Yeah?
He's buying this. Did you know that?
No!
He called me 2 minutes before you came in and said, "Save the little one. I'm coming down." Here he is. Now, you want it or not?
All right. I'll take it.
Oh, really?
Yeah. That's him. He's coming to buy it.
I'll take it.
That bit where Homer says, "Oh, don't worry," where, you know, they get there. They lose the RV. Homer says, "I'm an experienced woodsman." And he goes over and he's like, "I've murdered us all." And, you know, it echoes, murder us all. And then he gets angry at his own echo.
I've murdered us all. Shut up. Don't.
Yeah. he tells Bart to not be afraid. And then Maggie's behind him and she makes the noise with her pacifier. He turns around, he's like, and rather than, you know, Bart turns around and goes, "What was that?" Whereas Homer just goes, "It's a rattlesnake, go!"
And remember not to act afraid. Animals can smell fear and they don't like it. Besides, there's nothing to be afraid of.
Right.
A rattler!
Oh, I'm not afraid.
Run, you fool!
So they get lost in the woods and Maggie gets, taken in by bears, and Homer, they're both very hungry, and Homer decides that he'll set a trap. Being an experienced woodsman, he's going to set a trap to catch some dinner. And there's a great bit where he goes, "Oh, this small tree will do." And Bart says, "Are we going to hang ourselves?" "No, we're going to set a trap." And we'll need to put a clip of this in, obviously, because I can't do it justice.
Oh, yeah.
But it was, I remember watching this episode as a kid as well, and being in hysterics because the physical humor of a little rabbit just going into the tiny circle and then being slingshotted for about 3 miles away, but everything is kind of just pulled together perfectly with the little thud that happens right at the end.
Homer just acts as though that's supposed to happen.
Yeah.
"Dad, I am so hungry. Can't we eat something first? I'm starving, man."
"Ah, food. Good thinking, son. This young sapling ought to do the trick."
"What are we gonna do, hang ourselves?"
"No! This is a trap. It's gonna catch us our dinner. Come on, boy."
"Shh! Just watch." "Ooh! Aha! Got him!"
All right. I'll go into the bushes. Yeah, that whole section where he's getting... Get them on.
Step on it.
Okay. This time, I'll just go into the bushes over there, make a lot of noise, and flush out a rabbit. And when he comes out, you step on him.
Right, Dad.
Get him off me!
Yeah, get him off!
Covered in squirrels and rabbits.
How do they get naked, by the way? They go.
They fall off a waterfall, don't they?
Yeah, I know, but how did they get them naked?
I don't know. You know how waterfalls work. That's how it works.
It is in cartoons, it seems to be.
Yeah.
I'm sure that happens in a Futurama episode as well.
Oh, more than likely. There's a lot of nakedness in Futurama.
The sort of the last third of the episode or so, Homer punches a hole through a beehive.
Well, just... Homer, sorry, but Homer seems to have no concept of what bees are throughout the entire Simpsons, like, the whole thing.
They're because, defending themselves. So
yeah, exactly, with the sugar episode, he just doesn't seem to know what bees are. Yeah. So he just takes a handful of honey covered in bees, sticks it in his mouth, and Bart asks him how it is. He goes, tangy.
Bart, look! Honey! Honey! We're saved!
Homer? Bees? Who is it?
Tangy. Stop! Stop! Water! Water!
Ooh! Oh! Yeah.
Water! Water!
And then he runs and he falls into the muddy water, and the person filming it sees him and thinks it's Bigfoot. I actually laughed at this bit. It was one of these bits where, you know, I've seen this episode before, and, you know, I usually laugh at the bit with the rabbit, or, you know, the bit before at the RV. But there was a bit that made me laugh quite a lot that, you know, it's very simple. Homer's still got his mouth being stung by the bees, and he's covered in the mud, and the guy's filming him. And just when they play it back in the news one, and he's going, and you can hear him, that he's trying to say things, and then he starts getting like confused, like, and I don't know why, but this time I just really found that quite funny. And is that... Yeah. Supposed to be Kent Brockman on the news channel.
I don't know. I don't know if Kent Brockman had been formed in the minds of the writers at this point.
Because it almost sounds a wee bit like him, but then it doesn't look like him.
But I think Kent Brockman is done in such a way that he just sounds like all news reporters, doesn't he?
Yeah.
So they clearly have that news reporter voice. Yeah. It's the same thing they have with all the salesmen and stuff like that. They all have the voice kind of there,
yeah.
But they don't really have a character attached to them at the time. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. It's weird because you take for granted that all these characters are there forever, and then you watch these early episodes and you're going, oh, who the hell is this guy and who's that person and blah, blah, blah.
Exactly, yeah.
We'll talk about it in the next bit, but there's a really good example of that in the next episode. The way they describe the Bigfoot footage is saying it's incredibly foul mouthed.
Yeah, it's foul smelling.
Foul.
And it's, then obviously, yeah. Marge says, "That's my husband." Then, rather than thinking, tired. "Oh well, it must be a man," they say, "Women weds Bigfoot."
Yeah, what do you like to eat? Well, pork chops, I suppose. And it's Bigfoot with a chef's hat on. Recipes inside.
Yeah, that news reporter.
When they were interviewing Marge, is a great bit where the bears turn up. He goes, "Get those bears out of here!" Guy comes out
and goes, Maggie's
get
just
out of
like,
here, bears.
Maggie's just sat in the back, doesn't you know? Doesn't think that's odd or anything.
No.
There's a funny bit, or something that I thought was a bit strange. Yet again, this is me, you know, probably looking at the future a bit too much. But one of the news reporter that's interviewing Marge looks a wee bit like Herb, Homer's brother, that is introduced in a later. Obviously later episodes, but like almost identical character.
Yeah, probably more out of lazy animation, isn't it? It's no point drawing new characters for such small parts that are going to be, so just probably recycle a Homer slice and add a bit of hair on or something.
Yeah, the bit towards the end where, you know, they capture him and he's running and they're like, quick, get the tranquilizer dart, and they shoot him. And he's like, oh, and he's going to sleep. And Bart's like, no, no. And he's like, avenge my death, son. And then he falls asleep.
We got him! We got Bigfoot!
You are darn lucky we got here in time to rescue you.
What the hell are you talking about, sir?
He's getting away! After him!
You gotta take him alive, Johnson! You got that tranquilizer gun ready?
Ah!
blood.
Avenge me, son. Avenge my death.
Barty's gonna look.
He's like. So yes, all in all, quite simple, but a very, very good episode, I think, well, as well.
The good thing about this episode, really, as well, is it's the first time the Simpsons get in a ridiculous situation. Everything else has been kind of played very close to the home.
Exactly. Kind of,
you know, it's to deal with school, work, whatever. This is the first time the Simpsons go out, you know, figuratively into the wild, but also literally, I guess, where it's like they're going out and they can. You can kind of, I guess, the writers kind of taking a few risks in terms of what can we get away with but still keep it relatable to a family. And I guess a camping holiday is one of those American mainstays that's it's so innately American almost that people would really get it despite how ridiculous it gets with the whole bears and Lisa, and not Lisa, Homer, Bigfoot and all that sort of thing. Good episode.
Yes, good episode. Episode 8 then. The Telltale Head. Okay, this one's written by, I think, 4 different people. I think it's like Matt Groening, Sam Simon, Mike Reese, and Al Jean all apparently wrote this. They all had stuff to put into it, I suppose.
Apparently this is kind of the way Sam Simon worked in The Simpsons. He really kind of did a... And I could be wrong, but I think I remember reading this. I had a book years ago, and I think this was in it. That he just does a lot of bits in episodes, so like he did... you know, like various, like the Chocolate Land, or you know, whatever, in the, you know, the one where the power plant gets taken over by the Germans, he'll do a kind of bit. And early on, it's always been like one writer, maybe two writers, but The Simpsons, from kind of then on, like Monty Python and stuff like that, it was always a group process, wasn't it?
Yeah. Quite frequently. Yeah.
More often than not, it was 2 or 3, maybe 4 writers, all contributing.
So the premise of this one, the story behind this one, starts off with... The start of the episode, actually, is I think it's one of the few episodes that actually has a title. You know...
I was going to bring it up, and I think the reason for that is this whole episode is kind of done a bit like a movie.
Uh-huh.
And there's also... When we get to it later, there's a very significant bit in the episode that makes it feel like kind of movie-ish, in a sense.
So they starts off with Homer and Bart, and they're walking through town at night with the head of something. Now, at this point, most viewers, I don't think anyone, if they've just watched from the beginning, will know, or you're supposed to know who this is.
No, I don't think so.
And they come across a bloodthirsty mob out for their heads, and they chase after them, and you're like, what the hell is going on here? You know, and then Bart then... tells the story, and that's the setup for the rest of the episode.
Yeah.
How Bart came to get the head of this Jebediah Springfield statue.
Murderous mob! I beg you to spare our lives! At least until you've heard the story of how we ended up with the head of our beloved town founder.
How long will this story take?
About 23 minutes and 5 seconds.
It's too long.
23:05!
Well, alright, go ahead.
Yeah. And how Jebediah Springfield is the founder of, you know, why they're so mad is because he's the statue that symbolises the founder of Springfield.
Yeah, and it's a very weird one to go back and watch when you know all about Jebediah Springfield from the latest series. But there's a great bit just before Bart starts telling the story, which Homer's got him around his arm and he says...
Give me the head.
No, Dad. This whole thing was my fault. You run along.
Son, we're in this mess together, no matter how tempting it might be. I can't let my only boy get ripped limb from limb by a bloodthirsty mob.
Oh, Dad.
We'll die together like a father and son should.
But, so obviously another kind of classic storyline, which is trying to be popular, trying to fit in with the popular kids. In this case, Bart's trying to fit in with the older bad kids, Jimbo, Dolph, Kearney.
Who we see for the first time, well, a few of them anyway. Yes, Jimbo, Kearney, and Dolph.
They certainly hear from them for the first time.
Yeah.
Apu is introduced for the first time in the store where, unwittingly, Bart distracts him while the other kids steal.
Yeah.
Saying, I've got eyes in the back of my head, and obviously they just nick a load of stuff like a copy of Play Dude.
We see that through a lot. other episodes later on in The Simpsons.
Yeah.
We also see, like I was saying, there's, you know, you were saying Apu's introduced. There's quite a lot of introductions in this one. We're already seeing Jimbo, Kearney, Dolph, but also there's Reverend Lovejoy.
Yeah.
Krusty the Clown.
Yes.
And Sideshow Bob as well. Although his hair looks completely different.
Yeah, well, it's weird because it looks really different on the television part of it, and then when you see him at the statue later, it's kind of similar.
Yeah.
He looks really odd, actually. He's kind of fat, almost. Well, like, fat-faced.
Yeah.
Yeah, and so you've got... Yeah, like I was saying, you've got this thing, again, where Homer is offering the fatherly advice on the lap about Bart, saying that popularity is the most important thing. Again, terrible advice, and it leads to Bart actually cutting the head off the statue.
Dad, can I talk to you about something?
Sure, boy. What's on your mind?
Well, I was wondering, how important is it to be popular?
I'm glad you asked, son. Being popular is the most important thing in the world.
So, like, sometimes you could do stuff that you think is pretty bad so other kids will like you better?
You're not talking about killing anyone, are you?
No.
Are you?
No.
Then run along, you little scamp. A boy without mischief is like a bowling ball without a liquid center.
Which one was obviously part to blame for. But after he cuts the head off the statue, and I was mentioned earlier on about films, this is the first time that I can think of in The Simpsons where they do a little like film scene.
Mm-hmm.
So if you've seen The Godfather, obviously the guy wakes up and he's got a horse's head in his bed and he gets a, to say the least, he gets a fright. But Bart turns over in the morning and it's the same, like, almost shot-for-shot scene, and it's Jebediah Springfield's statue's head.
Yes.
So that's the first time where they've done this kind of film culture influence into it, which is pretty cool.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And the name of the episode is obviously referencing to Edgar Allan Poe's story, The Telltale Heart.
Yes.
Which was that kind of beating heart that drives the killer mad, and that's why, you know, I think it's supposed to be like, you know, the talking head driving Bart mad with guilt. And I think this is a really great episode showing what The Simpsons are really like and how they deal with their problems. I mean, the beginning of the episode where they go to church is great. Shows you how really Homer hates church.
Yeah, he hates it more than anybody else in the family.
All he cares about is the football.
Yeah, because he's got a bet on, hasn't he?
Mhm. And the scene, there's a brilliant scene where the children are winding up the Sunday school teacher.
Will my dog Pepper be there?
I'm sorry, but the answer is no.
Why not?
Because heaven is for people.
What about my cat, Snowball?
I'm sorry, but the answer is no.
Will there be cavemen in heaven?
Certainly not.
Ma'am, what if you're a really good person, but you're in a really, really bad fight and your leg gets gangrene and it has to be amputated? Will it be waiting for you in heaven?
For the last time, Bart, yes.
There's when the head goes missing, this is one of the first times that I noticed watching the season through where you'd get a lot of funny lines just in the background almost, or, you know, they don't dwell on the joke at all.
Mm-hmm.
And so you've got stuff like, when they read out Jebediah Springfield's name, it's Jebediah, Obadiah, Zachariah, Jedediah, Springfield. And I think probably the funniest moment of the series for me is, there's two. One of the very funny bits is where Chief Wiggum is doing the announcement, and he's saying, oh, we've got no leads, we've got no evidence, we've got no fingerprints, whatever.
We have no witnesses, no suspects, and no leads. If anyone has any information, please dial O and ask for the police. That number again, O.
Yeah, and he's like, no, seriously, we really need a lead on this. there's a great bit as well where Bart's trying to basically come to terms with what he's done, and he's trying to validate what he's done, and he was basically saying, oh, it's just a stupid statue anyway.
Yeah.
And there's a great line where Homer says, is the Leaning Tower of Pizza just a statue?
Yeah, I would laugh at that. That was really good. Yeah, he's there.
No, it's not.
It's absolutely not a statue. I think the funniest part of this episode is, again, like I was saying about those jokes they don't dwell on, they're kind of just they just pass through an episode brilliantly, is they're talking about a brief history of Jebediah Springfield, and they say on the news, Jebediah Springfield was attacked by a bear, and he killed it with his bare hands. That's B-A-R-E, hands. Or, as later evidence suggests, the bear killed him.
Jebediah Obadiah Zachariah Jedediah Springfield came west in 1838. Along the way, he met a ferocious bear and killed him with his bare hands. That's B-A-R-E, hands. Although modern historians recently uncovered evidence that the bear, in fact, probably killed him.
It's just, yeah, that's when The Simpsons is really at its best, when they kind of just, they just twist it right at the end and just set you off. I was cracking up at that.
Yeah, I don't think I picked up on that for some reason. Yeah,
they did a little news report on Jebediah.
This episode obviously brings about a lot of different things, like it shows how dysfunctional the family are as a whole, reaching, you know, going to the church and dealing with that, which is quite, yeah, again, that's quite a grounded, realistic thing, you know, it's just between them, but then there's the greater moral dilemma that Bart faces, trying to please the bullies, and then Homer giving him bad advice. So yeah. I think it's I think it's really back to its sort of family best here, this episode.
Yeah, and I think as well, it's The Simpsons as the main characters in The Simpsons really finding their place within the family. So, I mean, if we say it like the writers finding places for the family members. So Lisa is now very much the go-to person for like intelligence or, you know, any kind of like deep thought. An example is where Homer's reading about which bowling ball he's going to buy for using his $50 that he won on the football.
Yeah, with the liquid center.
Yes, and you know, we'll get back to liquid center in a second, but he says to Lisa when he's reading out Valhalla, he says, Lisa? And that's, so it's like, there you go, you've got Lisa who's the one, she's the smart one, and Homer knows it, and everybody else knows it. And you've got Bart as it's been done from the very start of The Simpsons, he's the young, rogue kid that just, he's a law unto himself.
Yeah, the underachiever, kind of, and proud of it.
Yeah, exactly. And Homer's, you know, the lovable fool. Just kind of the great thing that Homer does all the time in The Simpsons is, you mentioned it earlier, where he'll pick something up. You mentioned it when we were talking about the RV.
Mm-hmm.
And he just, automatically, it's the best thing in the world. If somebody tells him it's great, it's the best thing. He's like saying, I can't remember the first part of it, it's killing me. I wish I'd written it down, but he says, doing something and not being popular is like a bowling ball without a liquid center.
Yes.
And he's just that second read about a bowling ball with a liquid center. And now he passed it off as a bit, some kind of sage bit of wisdom. It's just great.
Because to him, that's the greatest.
That's the pinnacle of everything. Is a bowling ball with a liquid center called the stealth ball.
Is it called the stealth ball? Is it?
I think it's called the stealth ball or stealth bowl or something.
Yeah, something like that. Yeah. So. Great episode as well. I thought the four of these episodes were all pretty good. The first one with Homer with Bart being bullied, I thought was probably the weakest out of them. But we're really starting to see what The Simpsons is getting turned into now. And the next episode of this podcast will be talking about what have we done now? 8. So there's 5 to go.
Yeah, I think it will just be a slightly bumper edition. I think we've kind of streamlined this one a bit. I think we dwelled maybe a little bit too much last time. I think when we listened to it back, didn't we? And
mm-hmm.
We thought maybe we don't want to rush and we don't want to, you know, dwell on each line of an episode because that would just be incredibly boring.
Yes, we don't just want to go through it, you know, exactly scene by scene. We want to pick out the best bits, which hopefully we've done for these episodes. And to finish off. In the next episode, finish off season 1, we'll probably do the last 5 episodes. So it might be a wee bit longer, but hopefully people will enjoy that and have been enjoying this. So I just want to say before we go.
Before you do that, I want to just. One of the things we do have to look forward to in terms of like the greater scope of The Simpsons is in the next episode is the first introduction of Brad Bird as. Well, essentially, he ran everything creatively in The Simpsons for about 10 years.
Mm-hmm.
And really, after he left, there's a big argument to say that's when it started to go downhill.
Mm-hmm.
Brad Bird's an absolute genius in my mind. You know, everything he's done with Pixar and Disney and The Simpsons, obviously. So I'm looking forward to seeing that episode and talking about that. It's actually a really good episode too, which is great.
Good stuff. So yeah, just before we go, I just want to say, you know, we'll probably not have, maybe no one's listened to the podcast so far, but if people are watching, are listening, sorry, and they're enjoying what they hear, then any ratings or comments about anything would be great. We're putting up the podcasts on Mixcloud at the moment,
yeah.
And I think you've put it up for consideration on iTunes. You were saying it can take a wee bit of time, though.
Yeah, we don't. I mean, like, you never know. The problem we have is we're talking about an extremely protected brand in terms of, you know, Fox really, really, and Gracie really. They don't like people using it without their permission, essentially. So what might happen is we might never make it to iTunes because if we're using clips or we're using music or whatever, who knows, we might need to fiddle with all that in order to get it on there. It's not there yet, but it is on Mixcloud, and we'll put, as I think it's just mixcloud.com/cromulentpodcast.
Good. Okay, well, thanks for contributing to this episode again, as always. In the next episode, which will probably be next week, hopefully.
Yeah, I think that shouldn't be a problem.
Should be a problem. And so thanks. I've been Liam Morris.
I'm still Dan Tosley.
And we'll see you in the next one.